The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus went up the mountain and summoned those whom he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, that they might be with him, and he might send them forth to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. He appointed the 12, Simon, whom he named Peter, James, son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, whom he named Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. The Gospel of the Lord. These last few days, and certainly on Sunday, we were reflecting on the call of the disciples and the apostles. I was very struck on last Sunday reading the gospel several times, and the reflection of it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It's these kinds of sentences that often seem to be almost insignificant sentences, but point us to something that is true. That this story that is being told, that is being shared by somebody who has the experience. They remembered what time of day they met Jesus. They remember what the weather was like. They remember so many details because here they were face to face with the Lord. He met them. He called them. They followed him. Their life was never to be the same. So even in all of our lives, there are moments like that. There are moments that almost as if they're frozen in time. And we remember these special moments of grace in which we experience God's presence and his call. I never get tired of hearing vocation stories. You know, I look out at these beautiful sisters here and at Father Lambert, and it's so often only when other people come and visit that you hear each other's vocation stories. You don't sit around at the breakfast table, well, what's your vocation story? I remember when I was in the seminary, I'd be shocked, you know, because we'd bring in people discerning from the outside, and somebody would get up and they'd tell their vocation story and be like, wow, I never knew that. Because God speaks to each of us, whatever our vocation, in a very personal way, in a very direct, intimate, personal way. And as he speaks to us, we're like the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Our hearts burn within us. And not only in the moment, but any time that we go back in our minds and reflect on those beginning moments of following Jesus. So often whenever I do a retreat myself, or whenever I'm part of assisting others in their retreat, it's so important to remember. It's so important to remember those initial moments of grace, of call, of relationship. Because this relationship with Jesus is a love relationship. And our response to him is a response, as best as we can, being sinful people, a response in love. I entered the seminary right out of college, and I was in the seminary for 3 years. I was at the end of third theology, and I just didn't have any sense of peace about the pending commitment. I didn't really want to leave the seminary, but I wasn't ready to be ordained, and so I didn't really know what to do. So I left the seminary. I had pretty much put out of my mind the possibility of priesthood. You know, God must not be calling me to that. He must. And I couldn't really figure out what to do. I was, you know, in my mid-20s and then going into my later 20s, and I was working in an insurance agency, and I was just trying to find where God wanted me to be. And I remember as you might see me, you know, I still do. I exercise usually first thing in the morning, and I was out, you know, running, and then I came back, and I got into the habit, pre-internet days, of course, you know. I get into the habit when I woke up in the morning, as I started to get ready for work, I would put a tape of the scripture being proclaimed. So I had the whole New Testament on tape. And so as I started to get ready, I would just hit play, and, you know, I'd be shaving and listening, you know, because I think that, especially early in the morning, our hearts are very receptive, undistracted to the Word of God. And this particular day, it was a March morning, not 4 o'clock in the afternoon, about 7 o'clock in the morning. I was there and I was shaving and I was, you know, the way we listen and half listen and think about what I have to do today and all of that. And it was the section of the gospel where Jesus, post-resurrection, is visiting again with Peter. And he's asking him, "Do you love me?" And even now when I talk about it, I can feel it. It was as if Jesus was in that room asking me that question. Do you love me? Do you love me? And you know, what really penetrated my heart and mind and spirit was so much of what I was doing in my discernment was thinking about something, about priesthood, about the work, about the life. Does God want me to do this? Does God want me to do that? Am I going to do this? And I was asking and answering the wrong question. Because if I can answer yes to that fundamental question of do you love me, then I'm prepared for whatever else he's going to ask me to do. And so I didn't immediately go right back into the seminary. I was just carrying that with me because I didn't know what he wanted me to do except answer that question over and over and over again. Well, you see, here I am. But I also knew and know that I was free, and that if I had chosen another path, he would love me no less. And what a beautiful gift that is to experience. Preparation. Preparation is something that we don't hear about here in these scriptures. You'll see Sunday too, everybody immediately follows Jesus, which we all hope we would do. But underneath that, behind that, the Holy Spirit is preparing these men to hear the call and to respond. When we reflect on the Blessed Mother, of course, she had the prevenient grace, but she also just was getting ready. She was prepared for what God was going to ask her to do. And notice in her answer, the details were not the most important thing. "I am the handmaid of the Lord. Whatever you say, because I love you, and I know you love me, and my joy is in doing your will." The disciples were prepared by the Holy Spirit to recognize this Jesus who was asking them to follow him. Preparation. You know, some of you know my mother is, my mother and I are very close, and she had her house, and we're getting worried about her going up and down the stairs. And so it was interesting because she was beginning to think about, well, maybe I should move, you know. And I wasn't quite ready to say maybe that. You know, I was kind of ambivalent. You know, lived in the house since the 60s, lived in the neighborhood. And then both of us in prayer really came to the realization, we don't know where we're going, but God wants us to get ready. So we spent the whole spring and summer trying to empty out the house. You know the way it is, I'm sure. out to the curb with all the stuff every week. You think you get to the bottom of it, you haven't begun, out to the curb every week. But we were getting ready. And then I heard a friend of mine, who I've known my whole life, his mother was going to be moving out of a place that my mother was open to moving to. And I called him, and he said, well, if we do, you know, I'll sell it to you. And that's how it happened. But God was preparing us to make the move. And you see in hindsight, too, how God is preparing us for things. Last week, I announced to the, I'm chaplain at MIT and director of campus ministry in Boston. And in June, I'm going to be pastor of three parishes in the diocese. So I announced to the students last week that at the end of the year, I'm going to graduate with the class of 2015. And then I told them, and I didn't really realize I was saying anything significant. I said, God has been preparing me for this for the last few years. Well, at MIT, no word is a wasted word, right? Now, Father, afterwards, you know, all week people have been saying, now, Father, what do you mean God was preparing you? Well, how do you explain that? My spirit has been getting ready to hear another direction. And I was thinking about all of you in terms of preparation. God has been preparing you for this retreat. On your way down, the week before, the Holy Spirit is going to break through marble and make me say something that he's prepared you to hear. And that's what he does. Sometimes people will thank me for saying something I didn't even say. Because the Holy Spirit is so active in getting their hearts ready that even if I'm not receptive enough, he's going to have them hear it anyway. We're kind of dull instruments sometimes. But that's true. The Holy Spirit is preparing you, has prepared you, even if you came here kicking and screaming. Those moments, those critical moments between Thursday night and Friday when you're like, am I really going to go? And thank God, because God has something prepared just for you, I'm sure. Preparation also allows us to respond from the heart. Our response to God includes the intellectual. Of course it does. It needs to. But it's not merely that. It's a love response to a person, namely Jesus Christ. We say yes to him. I love you, Jesus. Now, I know many of you are married. I want you to think about, for a second, how did your husband propose? Now, they say, Father Lambert, you know, he knows better. They say, at least in some parts of Boston, that it's been known that occasionally an Irish man will ask his prospective spouse, would you like to be buried with my people? not the most romantic, but realistic, right? It's honest. But if we were really to ask a series of questions, maybe we'd ask something like, would you be willing to take care of me when I'm old? Will you change 3,422 diapers? Will you cook 11,481 meals? Will you do an infinite amount of laundry? Isn't this part of married life, right? All the work, all the tasks, everything that goes with it. But that's not how we propose. Because we talk about a relationship. All those other things are included, and we know that. But we don't say yes to a set of obligations. We say yes from our heart to another heart. And together, as best we can, we answer the question, do you love me? Will you marry me? Only love makes all those tasks bearable. And true and deep and personal love can make them even a joy. In that moment of invitation, we say yes to our past because it's led us to this moment. That country music song, God bless the broken road that led me straight to you, right? Rascal Flatts. Isn't it kind of true? It's like, well, I don't know. I didn't like everything that happened before, but it got me here. It got me here to you, Jesus. It got me here to now. And so I say thank you and yes to that. And I ask your mercy and forgiveness for my sins. And we also say yes to the future. I remember going to a mass for a sister, I believe it was on her 25th Jubilee. And on the program, it was very simple and very beautiful. Written in the words, for all that has been, thank you. For all that will be, yes. What a beautiful sentiment that is. Yes, whatever it is, Lord, if it's your will, yes. And I remember this summer as I was preparing to perform a wedding for two of my graduate students. Beautiful, in Michigan, Grand Rapids, Michigan. And they both came from beautiful Catholic families. And I was reflecting with them about how in their vows, in their marrying each other, they were already accepting and loving all that would come, the joy and the sorrow. And in that moment of marriage, they were also saying yes and already loving their future children and grandchildren yet to be born, already saying yes to them, already loving them in their heart. Whenever I'm sent to a new place or to new people, I'm always conscious of this. I already love them. I already loved all of you when I laid on the floor of the cathedral on my ordination day. I already held you in my heart and embraced the gift and responsibility of loving you and serving you decades before I even meet you. Because that's what a love in Christ is. It's not a little yes. It's not a conditional yes. It's a total and wholehearted yes to everything that has been, to everything that is, and to everything that will come. When we say yes to Jesus, our life is never the same. Every part of it is touched, blessed, and transformed by his love. Pedro Arrupe wrote a very simple reflection. Nothing is more practical than finding God, than falling in love in a quite absolute final way. What you are in love with, what seizes your imagination, will affect everything. It will decide what will get you out of bed in the morning, what you do with your evenings, how you spend your weekends, what you read, whom you know, what breaks your heart, and what amazes you with joy and gratitude. Fall in love, stay in love, and it will decide everything. May the same Holy Spirit that transforms bread and wine into his most precious body, blood, soul, and divinity transform us so that our yes will be truly wholehearted, and through the gift of our witness, many souls may come to know him and also say yes.